Hey, and this is Russ Dizdar. We are at May the 14th, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and take a listen to the backgrounds here. Take a listen.
Go for landing, over. Roger, understand. Go for landing. 3,000 feet.
July 20th, 1969. Astronauts Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin became the first men to land on the moon.
That's one small step for man.
Just like aliens visiting from another world. It had been the stuff of science fiction. Now, everything that could be imagined seemed possible. If mankind could travel the skies and go to other planets, why couldn't beings from other planets visit the Earth? Amidst a wave of modern UFO sightings, a new theory emerged that aliens visited Earth in antiquity and were regarded as gods. But if that were true, wouldn't there be proof? Perhaps there was.
And that's where we're going to just delve in tonight to the History Channel's new Ancient Aliens, the new series that was out. And again, you can go to YouTube. That's off a YouTube clip from the History Channel. And once again, the postulation, the concept that mankind, and if you listen to that simple little clip, you're going to hear things like, maybe we need a new explanation for the origins of the human race. Maybe mankind was not created here, but was seeded, dropped off by an alien race from a different planet. Now I'm going to ask you right now, is that what you believe? Tonight, as we delve once again to the fourth part of the series this week, Seduction of Popular Culture. The Seduction of Popular Culture. Somebody said years ago that if you say something long enough, and even though it's wrong, say it long enough and it begins to sound like that it is correct, that it is right. And looking at the Ancient Aliens, well, documentary, if they want to call it that, the History Channel, putting Van Dyneken and others that were giving explanations about reinterpreting everything about origins, everything about how the human race got here. And so for Dyneken, it involves ancient aliens now. He begins in that one video clip that I looked at simply saying that when he was raised as a Catholic and translating Greek to Latin, Latin to German, that he couldn't figure out why when God came to visit the Israelites, God had them create a kind of a fence, a gate around so the people couldn't get close. And this is where he begins to think in terms of God not being the kind of God that can do that. There has to be a different explanation. And that is what led Van Dyneken on his quest to find the aliens and to look at the ancient origins of what he calls religions and myths and saying that basically they're all the same about visitors from outer space coming down here and engaging us, thus Chariots of the Gods, Return of the Gods, and many others, and a new book that's coming out by Van Dyneken. And by the way, folks, listen, he's one of the most read authors in all the world. And that means that there are millions and millions, maybe you tonight, that have been interested in the concept of, alien presence. And so the Catholic bishop came out also from the Vatican saying some of the similar things, that if there were ancient or alien presence from other planets visiting here, would that interrupt anything? Would that change anything? Because the Bible doesn't say really one way or the other. There's somewhat an absence. Now, let me stop for a moment and say this. Anybody watching the Ancient Aliens, the new series that has just been put out, can be highly influenced. Thus, again, the topic this week, the seduction of popular culture, information from Hell's Kitchen. And this reinterpretation of the origins of the human race. Now, Van Deniken and many others are there. Even George Norrie from Coast to Coast makes an appearance. And questions are brought up. Constantly questions, more questions, not proof. Now, we have artifacts. We have archaeological digs. And we have, all kinds of things that we can look at and say, what is this? The pyramids, everything else. But that's not definitive proof. If the ancient aliens were here in the past and did all that they did and led culture to an extremely high level, where are they now? Are they just reappearing after thousands and thousands of years? Now listen, we're going to just run into this like a train head on because we've got to ask the question, is God really just God in gray skin? Is he just an alien flying around in a ship? Was Jesus Christ just an alien? And when we get down to alienology, ufology, and the Van Daniken, the writings, then everything is reduced to aliens. And as I watch Van Daniken on many of the other video clips, and as I watched him on the documentary, I was really stricken by the fact that he is literally absorbed, obsessed, no question about that. Incredibly, a studious man, and yet one that I have to ask this question. Are individuals absent from a direct relationship with God, willing to grab on and bark up any other tree that seems to have, something to it? If the alien presence is really a master race, we got a lot of questions. We got a lot of complaints. We've got a lot of things that we need to ask concerning if they are really the originators of the human race, as the clip that I'm just looking at from the History Channel recommends that we get a new explanation for human origins, and that maybe mankind came from another planet and we were dropped off here. So there's a lot of stories about that. And by the way, there's millions that believe, and maybe I'm talking to some providentially that do. And so we've got to ask the questions that take it further than Daniken has been willing to go. By the way, tonight, this is Russ Dizdar, shatterthedarkness.net on the web. If you are new to this show tonight, new to this voice tonight, well, we want to say that we are very grateful to be here, grateful to be with you. We get Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 6 to 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and then also on Tuesday nights at 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time as a guest host for Survive to Thrive Radio Network. Now, tonight, on this night, we're dealing with the fourth title to the topic of the week, the topic of the week being the seduction. I'm going to tell you right now, we've been dealing with the U.S. News and World Report's special edition magazine that came out, The Secrets of Christianity. Again, what they meant by that was Christianity is in a massive cover-up. Of course, they're blaming the Catholic Church. All of this deals with blaming the Catholic Church. And many of these are people that did not know God, but came from a religious structure, an institutional structure. And so when you have them now talking about redefining or revising God, revising Christ, revising the Bible, revising everything, one thing that I think that maybe nobody's seeing, that in every single case, including Van Daniken, we have a massive reduction of not only the Bible, of Christ, of what salvation is, eternal life is, what the human race really is, who Christ, who God ultimately is. We have revision of origins, revision of interpretations of archaeology, revisions all across the board to where this now is so believed by some, Eric Van Daniken and many others, that now it's been projected into the scripture. It's called eisegesis, where you take a concept, a belief, and then you try to go into the scripture to make it fit. And we're going to go to Ezekiel chapter 1 just to show you what we're talking about. I'm going to welcome everybody tonight. It's kind of interesting tonight that we're doing this one, the History Channel's Ancient Aliens, God in Gray Skin, or the Van Daniken Lie. Listen, if you have questions tonight or comments you want to throw into the show, you can do that. You can send it to shatterxmail, sbcglobal.net, sbcglobal.net. And we can take a look at not only some of your comments and questions, but a real engagement of this, well, this concept. And the reason I want to say again, the seduction of popular culture, when the Ancient Aliens, you know, series just came out on TV, the History Channel, a local radio host, Howie Chizik from WNIR Radio, that I listen to constantly because I live in the area. I listen to the news. I listen to the talk as I'm doing other things during the day. It's just kind of on in the background. And I heard him talking about this day after day after day. And again, coming from a Catholic background, not knowing whether he really knows God, but having a religious background, being a pro-lifer, he talks about that. But now he actually begins to believe. Does he have a theological background? Does he really know the Word of God backward and forward? No. So again, individuals who have a very, very light understanding of biblical revelation, which is an enormous thing in and of itself, then we have this willingness to accept the concept that we didn't really come from God. We come from gods, small g, from alien beings from other planets, and we've been brought here. And so if this is the new revised edition of the origins of the human race, I'm going to come in with a bunch of questions. And we need to really think this through to the logical conclusions. Now, today as we bring this topic up, well, the space shuttle Atlantis, the final voyage. Now, I was reading about this today on the in one of the articles. And again, when you're talking billions of dollars in the space program over the years, when you're sending spacecraft up into the skies, into space, when we have, astronauts who have been on the moon, have looked at everything else. So at Cape Canaveral, Florida, the space shuttle thundered away, as it says here in the article. The final voyage. And the question would be now, what's going to be occurring with the space program, NASA, here in the near future? I think it's very important because of the days that we're living in that we need to take a look at the new developments. If you want to take a few moments at some point, especially if you're brand new to The Voice tonight, Russ Dizdar, go to shatterthedarkness.net. There is a series on dark rituals, dark powers, confronting the powers training course, dozens of hundreds, literally, of MP3s. And again, there's a very busy site that gives you information across the board. We've dealt with this subject before. We've been to Roswell. I was invited by Guy Malone to be on the panel sometime back in answering questions in Roswell on the subject of alien visitation, abductions, and so forth. I've engaged individuals that had claimed that they had been abducted over years and years and years, and I just came back from Nashville a few weeks ago where Joe Jordan from UFON that works at NASA was there to communicate literally witnesses forward that would talk about the kind of abduction engagement and how they got free. So there's been a lot of interest on my part. Listen, I'm going to just tell you, as a believer in the living Christ, feeling motivated and led and compelled by the Spirit of God, there really is no subject that I love to delve into all kinds of subjects. And I think vital subjects. And I think that in tackling this subject, because the amazement to me is that just to simply chuck concepts of God creating mankind in majesty, God being the infinite, immeasurable God that is in personal relationship, the fall of the human race, real radical evil, God enters in to build and redeem mankind, and the love of God, all of these expressions of God's desire for us, Christ, the cross, what it's all about, well, absolutely. Absolutely, in the new History Channel's Ancient Aliens and Vandanikin's views and the other views would not only come to say, listen, we need to reinterpret all of this. We need to relook at all this and now revise the whole sense of origins, mankind's existence, the visitations. And the questions are going to be things like this. Where does that leave us now? Does anybody really love us? If the ancient aliens from a different planet came here and dropped us off, why did they leave us in such a mess? What is death all about? What is war and dying and all of this all about? Is the ancient alien race so cold, so crude that they would just treat us like bugs in a jar? When we think in terms of ancient aliens that have to fly around in craft, finite objects going from one place to another place, even though it would be superior to anything that we have, they're still finite craft that go from one place to another place. And if the ancient aliens did create us, bring us here, or whatever they did, where did they come from? Where did the master race come from? What's their origin? Did a different ancient alien race create them from another planet? And then where did they come from? Well, it was another ancient alien race from a further back, more ancient planet. And then it's not them, as the originators of everything. Well, they're finite. They had a beginning. Who created them? And so we need to ask those kind of questions to take things to its logical conclusions. That every single discussion, book, every single, you call it revelation, information on the alien issue, drops down to being that they're definitely finite, limited. And if they did drop us off here, who created the planets? Where did creation come from? It still has to go back further than the aliens. You still have to keep dropping back further and further and further until you come to an uncaused cause, an uncreated creator, a non-finite but eternal infinite being. It's got to begin somewhere, or it's an infinite number of beginnings that never has a beginning and, well, maybe never has an ending. And we need to take a hard look at all these questions instead of just saying with revised, reinterpreted data coming out, books coming out, video documentaries coming out, changing everything and hailing the aliens as our gods. And that's exactly what Vandanikin does. Literally, I'm going to tell you now, listen, at least think it through, that the UFO alien documentary, Ancient Aliens, Chariot of the Gods, Vandanikin, is it really a cult? Is it really any different than cults that have begun by individuals that have once again revised, reinterpreted everything, and came up with new conclusions? And became so absolutely absorbed in it. It's like I really, really did feel for the man. He had been a well, a researcher of UFO phenomena for over 40 years. He stood in a Theosophical Society telling the group, I was there that night, and he explained all of his search and research and all the information, 40 years pursuing the aliens. And the question was asked, did you find them? His answer, no. His answer went further. He said, I don't believe we'll find them in my lifetime. And what's most important is a spiritual life. I was kind of taken back. Here was a man that for 40 years had studied it all, had gone after. Even Van Daniken. To ask Eric whether or not he's engaged these gods. You know, he's written a book, The Return of the Gods. There's belief across the board in ufology and alienologists that they're going to return. Many believe the 2012 has a lot to do with that. Many believe today that the visitations with militaries around the world and cultures around the world are to here to give technologies in advance and do whatever. But again, take it to its logical conclusions. Ask the hard questions. If they're helping military, do what? Devise more weaponry? That's what it seems like when you deal with those who are telling us that there's engagement with non-human entities giving technologies to military for weapons advancement. Did the computer and the World Wide Web, did it all come from aliens? When we get into this, it has everything to do with you as a human being, you as a person. It has everything to do with significance. It has everything to do with the concept of origins, why you're here, where are you going? Because those are the questions that are left completely and totally unanswered. It's as if the History Channel's Ancient Aliens documentary, with everybody there, including, again, the promotion of Van Daniken's materials, it's as if the rush is to rid ourselves of the old interpretations of God, creation, mankind, the fall of the human race, the cross, Christ, change all of that and point to alien visitation, alien origins of the human race, alien evolutionary development of the human race. What they did not answer, though, in the entire series, where does the evil come from? Why is there human misery? Why do we love and hate? What's the whole issue of procreation, families, and the human development? What about war? When does it all end? When does radical evil end? Is it just a matter of alien insight to an evolution of human consciousness to where we no longer hate each other, no longer make war, where people no longer rape and steal and kill? What about the hard questions of human significance and why we die? And because all of us will die, humanity has something within them. Well, it leads to physical death and we're gone. And we can't penetrate the other side. Do the aliens die? Is there also death and funerals on the alien side? Do aliens weep? Do aliens love? Do aliens procreate? Are there alien little babies? If the aliens are so intelligent, so superior, so awesome, so wonderful, if they're really the gods that brought the human race here, then we need to use their name in vain, the way people have used God's name in vain. We need to blame them, don't we? Don't we need to blame them for the wars, the pain, the death, the loneliness, the separation? Can't we look back and say, well, listen, if this is the master race, if this is like the parents of the human race, why'd they leave us here? Why don't they help us? Why don't they just show up and give us guidance? Why don't they give us, you know, any kind of leadership? Do they show any shred of loving the human race? Do they have the answer for death? What happens when we die? Do we go to the great alien cosmos after death? Do we meet all the Greys and Pleiadians and all the rest? We need to really ask a lot of the questions that I think will help take things to the logical conclusions. Here are some of them. Let me give you five things that if you believe the promotion, the seduction of popular culture promotion of the History Channel's Ancient Aliens documentary, as if it was actually historical, archaeologically, the whole thing is about interpretation and promotion. Interpretation and the promotion of an entire different paradigm. An entire different belief construct. Is God just beings in gray skins? Do they fly around in craft? Do they abduct people? Well, let's ask some questions when we take all of the information to the logical conclusion and ask Van Daniken, ask the representatives that were literally promoting this new view of the human race, new origin, because literally it doesn't go any further than that. It doesn't give you anything more than just a concept of a different kind of origin where it reinterprets all the data to push it to their view. It's almost as if there is an obsession to take every piece. Well, let me take you to one piece. Primary piece. Not just the pillar that led the Israelites, you know, the pillar of, fire by night and the cloud during the day. Oh, that's just alien ships. And that's just a tractor beam. That's just alien ships projecting fire and guiding the Israelites. Well, is it really? Well, then everything the scripture says is a lie because it talks about God and God guiding and God leading and everything else. So you got to rip everything out. We have to say then that clearly the Bible in all of its view that it's God's guidance and deliverance of a people from one of the most Nephilim-infested, occult-infested civilizations, those that have developed the pyramids and so forth, the pharaohs that worshipped the ancient alien gods, the gods that Van Daniken's talking about, the ones that held... 2 million of the Israelites as slaves. So if you're going to reinterpret some, then I guess all of it has to be, all of it has to be chucked, all of it has to be thrown out. So when you go to the story of Elijah and the chariots that came down and this whole visionary episode and the taking up of the prophet Elijah as Elisha watched on. And again, instead of it being God, God's angels, and God operative in that way, then again, it's reduced again, ripped out of context, taking all the other scriptures away, and just saying, oh, that was an alien spacecraft. Well, what's the question? Listen, where did the aliens take Elijah? Why did they want Elijah? Why did they let Elisha look on? Why did they let it be reported as if God was behind this, that it was the departure of Elijah in a supernatural, beyond our ability, the physics of God, if you will, then the entire story, all the way into the New Testament. So it's all a lie. I mean, if you're going to reinterpret it all, this is exactly what cults do. The Moonies have done it. Scientology does it. The Way International has done it. If you look at any of the cults which will come to the scriptures and then begin to shred them by saying, well, here's what it says, but it actually doesn't mean that at all. Let's discard the clear, plain meaning of scripture, take everything out of context, and inject an entire different belief construct and force bits and pieces of the scripture to attest to a new revelation. And that's exactly what the Ancient Aliens documentary has done. That's exactly what Eric Van Daniken has done and those that have written like him. And I think that there should be a deep debate, deep engagement publicly over the issue. I think that if they're going to lead the world with this information, that is, and if you've ever read Van Daniken's Return of the Gods, the first two chapters, is a massive, massive assault on Israel, on Christianity, on the Bible, both Old and New Testament. It is a massive, massive assault, just like every cult does, to assault all the biblical revelation, all the biblical interpretation, all of the plain meaning, and rip it away in order to inject a different, an alternative revelation, interpretation. I'm telling you that the concept of the History Channel's documentary, Ancient Aliens, and the entire Van Daniken's quote proof, I listened to him as he said, well, we've got proof, we got records, we got pictures, we got artifacts, we got... No, you've got all those things, but you have revised interpretations. You have projected in interpretations. And let me give you one of those that I heard on the first night of the first of the series, going to Ezekiel, where everybody goes, it seems like. And again, there's been even people that is, you know, very versed in Scripture that have gone back to the Scripture and looked at again Ezekiel chapter 1, and all of a sudden we find it all begins, well, they don't begin here, but it all begins in verse 3. Ezekiel, the prophet of God that communicates the presence, power, and person of God, that communicates a message to Israel of repentance and redemption and grace. It's in the book of Ezekiel that we read, God takes no pleasure of the death of the wicked, but rather that they turn. That we see the intent of God in redemption, in love for humanity. See, most of the alienologists, most of those that would agree with and promote Van Daniken would take verse 4 down concerning the, well, the windstorm, the immense cloud and flashing lightning and surrounded by brilliant light. The center, the fire looked like glowing metal. And the fire, in the fire is what looked like four living creatures. Those are the aliens, they say. And this is a spacecraft. And so now it's all been turned into a spacecraft. It gives these creatures, these beings. It does talk about the spirit being, the life being in them. It talks about in verse 13, fire moved back and forth among the creatures. It was bright and lightning flashed out of it. The creature sped back and forth like flashes of lightning. Now let me tell you something. In some senses, you know, in the spotting of lights in the sky, and they move back and forth so fast, they defy modern physics when it comes to aircraft. And so when you read through this, again, the reinterpretation is, this is not anything to do with angels. This is not anything to do with some kind of revelation of God. This is simply, Ezekiel was just stupid. He didn't know that this was really just an ancient, the gods had showed up. Alien gods from another planet showed up in a spacecraft. And so that's what they're going to promote. I'm going to tell you right now, I believe, and I want to say very bluntly, that it's a massive seduction of popular culture. And I believe that it's info, in the most masqueraded sense, from Hell's Kitchen. Why do I say that? Because when you look at the context of Ezekiel chapter 1, when you read verse 22, spread out above the heads of the living creatures was what looked like an expanse. See, what did they do with this? Sparkling like ice and awesome. Under the expanse, their wings stretched out toward, you know, one toward the other. Here you have again this revelation of angelic presence. Someone referred to cherubim or seraphim. but incredible creatures that were helping to reveal the glory of God. Not ancient aliens from another planet, finite beings in finite spacecrafts, because once they reduce this chapter to ancient aliens and spacecraft, guess what happens next? Not only is it taken out of context, and the alienologists' ideas and interpretations thrust into the context, look what they're not telling you. In verse 25, in the experience that he's... They're not saying either that Ezekiel didn't have the experience. You know what they're saying? They're saying that Ezekiel had the experience. He was just too stupid to know that it was spacecraft and gods, alien gods from another planet. And they were visiting mankind. And Ezekiel could not, realize that. And so we come down to verse 25. I mean, really, and I think that if anyone listening over all the thousands and thousands, even in the archives that are downloaded, and again, there will be those that send it to individuals that are Vandanican devotees. And the reason, again, I bring this is not about just a debate and argument who's right, who's wrong. It's about God. It's about God's love for you. It's about who you are as a human being. Because I'm going to tell you right now that alienology will rip away from you human significance and majesty, origins and endings, and indestructible immortality. Literally by sidetracking you with what seems to be something very dazzling, and keeping you focused on this dazzling new interpretation of the origins of the human race, of these alien gods that have come and may be coming back, preoccupying popular society with that concept, never revealing to them the incredible revelation of the Spirit of God, the ultimate end of the human race, the real battlefield that's going on, and what's happening right now. Alienology fits Luciferic doctrine, Luciferic agenda. It fits the globalism, 2012ers, and the Spirit-guided writings of Alice Bailey, and others who speak about a spiritual evolution of humanity to a higher consciousness that may involve the help and the aid of the gods, small g. What gods? Who are they? What's their name? Where do they come from? What's their intent? What's their proof? Do they love us? Do they redeem us? Do they give us eternal life? What we need to do is to do a History Channel documentary of unmasking ancient alien gods, small g, in parentheses. What we need to do is talk about the physics of the dark side to masquerade, to transfigure, and completely dazzle individuals that will write and will speak and will make movies that will dazzle popular culture with ultimately a dead-end lie that steals away the ultimate engagement, encounter, hope, and relationship that could be gotten. Could be had. If you're reading Ezekiel chapter 1 and you're into the ufologists and you're into the ancient aliens and you're kind of believing Vandanican, then I've got to ask the question. In verse 25, when the word of God says, then there came a voice from above, a voice. Is this the aliens? There came a voice from above the expanse over their heads of who? Over the heads of the creatures. Now again, the Vandanicans will say that the creatures are aliens and they're in a spacecraft. did Van Daniken tell us about verse 25? Then there came a voice from above the expanse over their heads. As they stood with lowered wings, above the expanse over their heads was what looked like a throne of sapphire. And high above on the throne was a figure like that of a man. Notice what it says. High above on the throne was a figure like that of a man. Very similar language in the book of Daniel. In reference to the Son of God. In reference to the manifest, visible locality of the pre-incarnate Christ. Very much like the Isaiah 6 with the seraphs. I saw the Lord, Yahweh Adonai. John's gospel tells us that Isaiah the prophet saw Jesus in the pre-incarnate eternal state as infinite God in the context of locality, throne, authority, power, centrality. Looked like that of man. But obviously, in verse 25, 26, 27, you're going to clearly see, this is way beyond the idea of a human being. Verse 27, I saw that from what appeared to be his waist up, he looked like glowing metal, as if full of fire. And that from there down, he looked like fire and brilliant light surrounded him. Like the appearance of a rainbow in the clouds on a rainy day, so was the radiance around him. Mark down there Revelation. The book of Revelation, go ahead and read it sometime, chapters 1 and 2. You're going to see again the concept of the locality, the visible, manifest presence of God in order for engagement with humanity. And here we see John on the Isle of Patmos seeing after Christ died, after the resurrection, after the ascension. Remember Jesus said it in John's Gospel 17, Father, return to me the glory I had with you before the creation of the world. And now we have the visitation of Jesus decades later as the eternal Christ, the eternal Savior, the eternal God, the Logos that became flesh for a while, did what he did at the cross, rose, ascended, returned, and now appears to John on the Isle of Patmos to bring about one of the most vital, infallible, accurate, irrevocable prophetic insight in the history of all prophetic revelation. The book of Revelation. How does John see him? Look like a man. You're going to see that now almost 2,600 years, 700 years apart in time. I mean, when we look at this now, we're talking about Ezekiel being way back there in history and his engagement with what he calls. And I want Van Daniken to see this, and I want, and I really want George Norrie and others to see this again because of the compelling nature of my sharing with you that God is God, and that He loves you, and that He knows you, and that He wants you, and that God is knowable, and can be engaged, experienced, and the gift of indestructible immortality given. Which blows out of the water the dazzling, sidetracking information of this reinterpretation of origins of God, of the Bible, of Christ. You see, nobody, you know, they all talk about Ezekiel and what this might have been, and they thrust into it finite alienology. Finite spaceships, finite beings. Beings that ultimately abduct people, rape people, experiment on people, and don't help humanity. And if the alienologists are correct about it all in Roswell, they crash ships and die. And so we read in verse 28 of Ezekiel, that same chapter, again, context, context, context. The rules of interpretation is context. And first of all, Scripture interprets Scripture, because you have in the Scriptures a very unique revelation. Again, from three continents, three languages, 40 different writers, 1,600 years, the Spirit of God guides. All the writers know they're writing by the hand of the infinite, uncreated Spirit of God, and the consistent unveiling of the revelation of God and His nature and His purpose and mankind and all that it's about. In verse 28, it goes on to say these words that none of the alienologists will tell you. Here's what it says. In reference to the voice speaking above the expanse and above the heads of the creatures, the voice. Here's what it says. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. When I saw it, I fell face down, and I heard the voice of one speaking. This revelation of the glory of God, this incredible revelation of the glory of God continues in Ezekiel 2. When the voice, God says, verse 1, chapter 2, He said to me, Son of man, stand up on your feet and I will speak to you. As He spoke, the Spirit, referring to the Spirit of God, came into me and raised me to my feet. And I heard Him, see the personal pronoun, Him, speaking to me. He said, Son of man, I am sending you to the Israelites, to a rebellious nation that has rebelled against me. Listen, this is all about God's engagement of the prophet, God's revelation, as unequaled and unprecedented. God's engagement of the man Ezekiel, who's going to be the prophet that's going to take the message of God's love to the Israelites, call to the Israelites to get out of and leave the deep-seated worship of demon gods, human sacrifice. Oh, listen, go all the way to chapter 8. Listen, if you're going to be an honest student of the Word of God, if you're going to be someone that can evaluate the History Channel's Ancient Aliens and the promotion of the reinterpretation of the origins of the human race, the meaning of the human race, the meaning of the Bible, the meaning of God, the meaning of Christ, the meaning of it all, then you're going to, listen, you read chapters 1 through 8. You're going to find out that this is about God bringing massive, glorious revelation to whom He chooses, a man that is going to be the prophet, that's going to be guided, that's going to be given the information. He's going to go to a hardened people that have underground satanic Luciferic worship, the sacrifice of other human beings. You've got massive demonic engagement. You've got people that are so deeply engaged and in absolute opposition to God. That's what this is all about. It's not about modern-day individual people making money off of reinterpreted, literally a cult ripping out of context portions of Scripture. It's exactly what cults do. You know, ripping all of it out of context and not letting Scripture interpret Scripture. You go across the board systematically and you're going to find out that the revelation of God is infinite, immeasurable. God in the relational aspect, this is all about God reaching man. That's what Ezekiel's all about. That's what chapter 1 is all about. That's what the whole book's all about. It's going to be eventually about Ezekiel being led in chapter 8. And God's going to show him, hey, Ezekiel, let me show you what's happening deep down in the cave. Here's where they're sacrificing human beings, shedding blood, and worshiping the demonic. This is about now reality, friends. This is now about what the end of the human race is all about. This is about dark presence that has engaged the human race, and the human race yielding to the alternative spiritual doctrine, promises, and agenda. It's why there's death. It's why there's sin. You see, the ancient aliens program and those that are promoting it did not give any human being one shred of assured hope, one shred of anything outside the human race that loves us, that cares about us, that comes for us, that gives us the reasons why there is death and bloodshed and history is disintegrating. And these are the same guys that believe the Antichrist is coming. Antichrist, this is the one instead of the real Christ. Let me tell you something that the Ancient Aliens series and the Van Doniken books and materials are doing to millions and millions of people around the world. Five things real quick, here they are. Number one, a massive reduction, a massive reinterpretation that brings about always in every cult interpretation of the Bible, in this alienologist's or this series or Van Daniken's view, massive, massive reduction of God, literally discarding the revelations of God, just as you see in chapter 1 of Ezekiel. Discarding the verse 3 that brings the intro into the next number of verses, and then discarding verses 25, 26, 27, 28 in the revelation of God and God's directives and the reason for this engagement. And ultimately, God wants to reach the people. God wants to get them out of their death, their human sacrificing, their engagement with the demonic, and it's about God desiring. He takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked, my friends. If you're an alienologist, if you were a Van Daniken, let me ask you a question. What hope do you have for humanity? Because number one, massive reduction in all their promotion of a reinterpretation of the origins, the nature, and maybe, well, they didn't even touch on the ending of the human race. Maybe the aliens will come and help us in the end and give us some kind of what? 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 What are they going to give us? What are they going to use? Reincarnation? What if the end of the world comes? How do you get reincarnated then? So massive reduction. Number two, there's no savior. Jesus is only an alien to the alienologists. He's just really an alien, just like some of the experiences in the Old Testament. It's all aliens that's showing up. Just gods, ancient gods from other planets, finite beings. That's all Jesus is. To psychics, he's just a psychic. To Edgar Cayce, that's what he was, an ultimate psychic. You know, to remote viewers, he was a specialist in remote viewing. He had powers like the gurus. And so there's a massive reduction, number one. Number two, there's no savior. Because this is not God in human flesh that desires to come for the human race, that gives us life to break the barriers and the boundaries and the chains of sin, Satan, death, and hell. No, not at all. Jesus is just one of them. God in gray skin. A finite, small g God from a different planet that just showed up and tried to help us. One of many. Number three, according to the alienologists, there's no infinite God, really. I mean, if there was, we can't know infinite God. And that's always true when you take alternative spiritual revelation. That's what happened in Genesis 3. There is a battle. There is a war. There is a goal to bring deception, seduction. What do you believe? What do you believe? Listening to me right now, listening to this voice right now, what is your hope? What is your understanding of the origins of the human race, of you, of the importance of your life, of your living and dying? Listen, alienologists and the ancient alien series from the History Channel, it's all about nixing the infinite, immeasurable God that loves humanity, that is relational. No, it's a replacement. Ancient aliens. Number four, that all the Bible has to be a lie because you have to shred the Bible completely and just, you know, force into it like a square peg in a round hole. You got to force in new interpretations and different interpretations. And what we see in Ezekiel chapter 1 is a massive, massive ripping off a cult orientation or interpretation, a twisting of Scripture. Massive deception. And literally a dishonoring of the Spirit of God, out of God's intent. Reread Ezekiel 1. Look before and after the whole story of the four beings and the light and the fire and the spirit and the wheels. Look how it deals with something even beyond that. God, the glory of God, God speaking and God engaging Ezekiel and God wanting to bring redemption to the Israelites and God bringing revelation about his love for humanity and redemption of humanity, even when they're hardened and rebellious and worshiping demon gods underground in caverns. You read it all the way to chapter 8. So point four is that all the Bible's got to be a lie. Point five, what's left? The question is, what is left? What is left? Alien presence, really, they hide. Alien presence is finite. Alien presence, they're abducting people. They're raping people. They're no help. They're no giving. Where's the hope? And so the UFO alienologists and Van Daniken, being one of the most read people in all the world, and I've read a number of his books, listen to a lot of his stuff, and it really is sad to see a person to be so passionate about shredding God, shredding Christ, shredding the Scriptures, reinterpreting it all, and forcing the data of archaeology and the things that he has seen to be the evidence of finite, fallen, dying gods, aliens, that don't help humanity, but seem to harm, that hide and are obscure like the demons. Maybe what's really happening is like the Bible talks about in the end of days, counterfeit signs, wonders in the skies and on the ground, that there's massive ramping up of deception as never before in human history prior to the rise of Antichrist, who will look like a god, small g, to the human race. The dark side can dazzle and masquerade and transfigure. The end of that is always death, separation, and dying, and the corruption of the human nature. The real story, the real message, God created mankind, you, in human majesty. God has designed us now, even in our sin and fall, to be redeemed by Christ, by God in human flesh. Indestructible immortality. That's what it's all about. Do you know Christ? Do you know God? Go back to the Gospel of John. Reread. Relook. Don't let anyone seduce you to a hopeless, secondary, well, call it a belief system if you want. Jesus Christ came for you. He loves you. He is Logos, God in human flesh. He's coming again. We're talking about infinite and ultimately indestructible immortality. Listen, this is Russ Dizdar, ShatterTheDarkness.net on the web. God bless you.